Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two professional counselors who like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
Join us.
Welcome. Woohoo! It's been so long.
I know. It's nice to see you.
2 weeks.
That's why this podcast is great, because it gives us like an actual like reason to see each other.
And to like something to look forward to.
Yeah. So yes. It doesn't like slip by and we haven't seen each other for a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a scheduled play date.
I love it. Adult play dates.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Are you enjoying your French wine?
Yes. La pêche. Oh, that means the peach.
Or a peach.
Or just peach.
Perhaps. Peachy.
Peachy.
I'm having a mead thing.
What's it taste like?
It's good. It's lemon lime mead. I like it. It's okay. Made of honey. Alcohol honey.
Alcoholic honey. Best kind of honey. So I just have to pick it right back up again. Britney Spears and the conservatorship.
I'm glad you're like updating us on the saga.
I know. I've been like fascinated. And have you heard any? So they.
I did see one headline that was very disturbing.
Yeah. So they did not remove the dad from the conservatorship. So that.
I saw that. Did you see her excitement at getting her very first iPad?
Oh, no.
It was very disturbing.
It didn't.
It's like, what kinds of controls have been on this girl?
I read an article written by another, where an interview from another pop star who had done a music video with her and said that, like, everything from, like, sodas, she could only, like, drink certain types and just certain amounts of sodas. Like, everything was restricted.
That's very no odd. Life.
No, especially when you're like not a willing participant.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, to me, again, I still stand by like, okay, if a guardianship is needed, fine, but there you can find a neutral party. So I'm kind of confused why that wasn't granted.
Yes, I agree with that. I also still stand by we don't know all the facts. Yep. We don't know what's going on.
That's the other side of it, because it's kind of like that came out and then it's kind of been pretty hush on that front.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there could be safety things that we don't know about.
Right.
I still don't think her dad necessarily has to be the one, but I'm also not the court, so I have no idea.
Right. And I don't know if this has strayed too far into the area of protecting her from herself in areas that she doesn't need protection from. Mm-hmm. Like, let her post stupid shit. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, if it's
the
not
right to do that.
Yeah, a threat to mm-hmm. herself, others, property, then.
And I'm
Don't
kind
worry
of
about it.
I'm kind of wondering. So this is where my thought is right now is maybe the dad's livelihood has become so wrapped up in this guardianship that he somehow was able to make a case that this being changed would impact him, like her making poor decisions would impact his well-being as well.
That seems very unethical. If anybody agreed with that. Line of bullshit.
Well, he makes money off of her. So obviously he's worried about what she's going to say and do without him being over the top. But she got her own lawyer. So, I mean, that kind of idea that, well, she didn't get fair representation kind of goes out the window a bit. She got fair representation. So why? And I think we're not going to get the answer to that.
I think we should get rid of all the conflicts of interest and then see where we're at.
Yes.
Yes.
In the court of DDT. Wait, DDT?
DDT.
Yes, that's right.
That's our letters. Aw, DDT.
Yeah,
I was thinking we should name our listeners. I know a lot of like YouTube channels.
Do they?
Yeah, they name their listener. They call them things.
Like what?
Like legends or underachievers or,
oh,
you know, they have a
oh
like a name. So I thought we should name our listener something. But I don't have an idea of what that would be at the moment. I just thought, we should name our people.
I feel like you should post that in our Facebook group.
Let them name themselves.
Or just like give
some idea,
just like how we name the podcast, like give us 5 ideas and we'll pick whichever one, you know, tickles our fancy in the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good.
This meat is strong, I think.
Are you drunk?
I've had like 2 sips and I'm fucking wasted.
I do want to say a very sad, you know, rest in peace to
who died?
Your lounge pants.
What happened?
You are in
complete, you're talking about me. You're calling me out right
complete
now.
Complete work attire right now.
Well.
Pencil skirt and all.
Okay, but I had to go back to work on site.
Yep.
I had to figure out a bottom half to outfits. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think threw me off the most when you opened the door and my brain just like went, wait.
Who are you?
Yeah,
it didn't make sense. This pencil skirt is genius because the entire thing is stretchy.
I mean, that's cool.
It doesn't even have a zipper. It's like a stretch tube. Hopefully I don't look like a stuffed sausage in a casing.
I want a stretch tube because I have a skirt that's not stretch tube.
Yeah, this is a stretch tube. So it like looks like at first glance, all professional and nice, but at closer inspection, it's actually kind of lounge pants in a tube. Mm-hmm. So
I spelled our episode name wrong? Tiddlywinks.
I didn't know how you actually spell it.
I don't know.
Is there not supposed to be an E?
There's not supposed to be an E in there, and I put it in there.
It's okay.
We'll see if I fix it.
We'll see if anybody cares. Doubtful.
It would have just been you. So if you don't care, this was me gauging how important this was for me to change it.
There's been things that I've asked you to change.
I know.
There's been things
I'm very aware. And then I
wanted you to change, and then I take like let go 3 months.
What things? I added the episodes.
No, that was in the past. And then I just decided to let it go.
That bothers me more now that you didn't
tell me. Well, I just made a mistake and you didn't catch it.
Which one?
In our description. And I just caught it when I was reposting it.
What did you
post? I put that I did the experiment on you and you actually did it on me.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't read that when you send it
to me. Well, apparently somebody needs to be editing somebody around here.
It's their fans. And we're going to name you because you have such an important role in auditing us.
Yes. And that'll help us feel connected to you.
Yes. Our wonderful little...
I don't know. I mean, we've kind of called them nerds, but that's taken.
Yeah.
We've called them nothing else. I think that's the only thing.
No.
We'll come up with something.
Yeah. Okay. I don't really have anything else. Do you have anything else?
I was sick as fuck last weekend for my second vaccine. Like, very sick. Mm-hmm. And it was an opportunity to binge watch a lot of shows. Yeah. When I'm sick, I like to watch shows like Poirot. So I watched a lot of that. But I also was watching this new show that I really like called Lady Parts. It's badass. Actually, I have a clip pulled up. I was going to play you from it.
Oh, okay. Make sure it's 30 seconds or less.
I will probably. Yeah, it's amazing. So listen to this.
Okay.
My microphone just collapsed. So this is a show about an all-female Muslim punk band from the UK, and that was from one of their shows they did. They covered 9 to 5, and I just thought it was super badass.
This struggle is real.
I cannot get my microphone to stand up on its own ever.
I do have one more thing. So I heard a speaker share about like the impacts of COVID on people and going back into work and stressors with that, which, you know, see how long that lasts with Delta. But she made a very, very aggravating statement to me, which was...
It aggravated you.
Yes. Was if you went through that time during COVID, during isolation, and didn't better yourself somehow and get a certificate or a training, and then she like listed off her stuff, then you missed an opportunity and you should have done something to better yourself during that time.
Well, listen, lady, what if you're crippled by anxiety and depression during that time, like I apparently was?
What if you had a family member that, I don't know, fucking died from COVID?
That died. Yeah.
What
if you had to quit your job to watch your kids and teach them? And that was what you were busy with.
Yeah. I mean, we're just the whole...
What if you lost your job and, you know, we're struggling with that?
Collective worldwide shock of being in a pandemic. I mean, I certainly didn't wake up that day going like, how may I better myself? I was like pacing around the house, sitting on the fireplace edge going, what shall I
I was like, do I have enough rice?
Yeah. How, you know, how important is toilet paper right now? Because I know everyone's laughing like it's a joke, but is it?
Because I was like, do I have enough alcohol stockpiled?
Yeah, I knew you did. So I was in survival mode, for sure. I was like, I got rice and beans. I mean, that's how what I could live off of, I think.
Yeah, I got a lot of AA batteries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was for sure in survival mode. I was not in executive, full functioning, planning, organizing, and being creative mode at all whatsoever.
No, and like, even if you were, all the power to you, but that's not where most were at, I would argue. And it's not your, I mean, your thing to tell other people how they should experience drama.
That's right. I didn't even realize how bad I was until I started to come out of it.
Me too. I was like, oh my gosh, I was just so depressed.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like to feel motivated to do something beyond what you have to do.
I literally quit my job in the midst of COVID. Like, talk about, and I'm like, that there was stuff happening.
I don't like the self-righteous attitude of most that things. Person or anybody.
Just I think it's just that attitude in general.
Yeah, just do you and be happy with that. Mm-hmm. And let me do me.
Yep.
Or not do me.
Yeah.
Which was the case during COVID.
I can just do whatever I want and you don't need to know or care.
Yeah.
I
baked a bread once and that was my win.
For the year I remember and a half. Seeing everyone like do all these like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I think I did less artsy, craftsy things during that period than I normally would do during the summer, honestly.
I didn't do it to be crafty. I did it to see if I could do it in case I needed to for survival. And then I did it. I'm like, okay, I can do it if I need to.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Anyway, sorry. Had to squeeze that in, my little vent. Okay, I go first today.
Okay.
Are you excited?
Yes. I'm always so eager to see what topic you're bringing.
You should probably dampen that expectation a bit. Okay. No, it's okay. I mean, it's one that I was like, okay, it is something I've never known about before and made me like question some things that I don't usually question. So valuable. It's just not like a huge topic. It was an event that happened, but not a huge, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll just talk about it.
That's a big lead in.
1982.
Oh.
What were you doing in 1982?
I was 11.
Oh, that's cute. All right. So I'm going to start this off by saying Mary Kellerman, a 12-year-old girl from Elk Grove Village, a suburb in Chicago, told her mother of symptoms she was having. They gave her an extra strength Tylenol capsule that, unbeknownst to them, was laced with a highly poisonous potassium cyanide.
Mm. Oh, is this the whole Tylenol thing?
Mary was dead.
I remember this.
By 7 a.m. You remember this? Tell me. I wasn't born yet, so tell me more.
I remember the panic, and I remember the Tylenol being ripped off the shelves.
Yeah, and that's what I was hoping you'd kind of have some actual context. I was reading this, and I'm like, oh, wow, I had no idea this ever happened.
Yeah.
And I bet you there's a lot of people who don't.
I remember the vibe.
And I have to say, like, major kudos, and I'll talk about that a bit more, to Johnson & Johnson for bringing Tylenol, like, back from this. Because
this is so weird. Because I never take medicine. And I was, even keep it in the house because I never take it.
I wonder if this had to do with that.
I was so sick last weekend that I sent my son to get me some Tylenol. So I actually have extra strength Tylenol in the medicine cabinet. Everything is so connected right now.
Wow.
I kind of have goosebumps.
Look, I have goosebumps. That's crazy. Okay. All right. Now I feel better about my topic. So with that, within a week, her death really did panic the entire U.S. I mean, it wasn't really isolated. It blew up because this was an over-the-counter medication that everyone really had relied on. That medication was used almost as like the primary, like, oh, yep, grab Tylenol. And that was the go-to drugstore grab. That same day that poor little Mary Kellerman passed away, a 27-year-old postal worker named Adam Janus of Arlington Heights, Illinois, died of what was initially thought to be a massive heart attack, but turned out to be cyanide poisoning as well.
Shit.
His brother and sister-in-law rushed to his home, but both were experiencing really bad headaches, not uncommon to respond to a death in the family, and each took a Tylenol extra strength capsule or two from the same bottle Adam had used earlier in the day. Stanley died that very day, and Teresa died 2 days later. So his sister-in-law and his brother. Over the next few days, three more strange deaths occurred. 35-year-old Mary McFarland of Illinois, 35-year-old Paula Prince of Chicago, and 27-year-old Mary Weiner of Winefield.
So these are all sort Illinois. Of in the same area, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All of them took the Tylenol shortly before they died. At this point, early October 1982, that investigators started making the connection between what was happening. So they weren't that, I mean, they were relatively quick, but not super quick. So these are gelatin-based capsules. They were really like slick and easy to swallow, so they were pretty popular. But they were the capsules that could be opened.
Yeah, that's...
And there was like the little granules.
In retrospect, that white. Seems like a bad idea.
Right? I sat and watched a 85 video of them explaining how to check your Tylenol capsule. So like if the words Tylenol aren't lined up,
Ooh. It
might have been tampered with. Also to look for cyanide specifically, there'd be brown flecks in the white. There should be no other flecks in there.
I don't want brown flecks in my Tylenol.
I know. I was just like, wow, this is fascinating. And this whole time they're like showing how you can use a hairdryer to make the plastic seals around the bottle.
I mean, why weren't people just throwing them away and not using them? I mean, why are we trying to fix our Tylenol that could possibly kill us?
No, they were trying to show how someone could tamper with it and put it back on the shelf. Oh,
gotcha.
Yeah. So there was these things, I don't know if they still exist, but they were water seals. So when they're wet, they expand and they come right off. And then you put it on the bottle. When it dries, it sucks up around it. So all you'd have to do is put the bottle underwater. It would pop off.
Sneaky.
And you put it back on, right? So, yeah. They started figuring out that this was tied to the Tylenol. Unfortunately, each victim swallowed a Tylenol capsule that was laced with a lethal dose of cyanide. McNeil Consumer Products, which is a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, Johnson & Johnson, manufactured Tylenol. To its credit, the company took an active role in the media in issuing a mass warning. It started doing massive recalls. They stopped production. Like, it was a pretty big halt. They recalled 31 million bottles of Tylenol. And I watched a news video where they were going around to all these different stores in these communities and, did you take all the Tylenol? Yep. But there was a few that where it's like, nope, there's still Tylenol here. And they're trying to get them off the shelves. Yeah. But you could tell the people were scared. So they did offer replacement capsules to those. So basically like the ones that are solid.
Yeah. Like the caplets.
I'm so glad you said that. Okay. Hold on 1 second.
That's what I got. The caplets.
The caplets. Okay. I have to share something super funny. Super funny once I find it. It's going to take me a second. So, I mean, this made me kind of think a bit about how people are scared of like the current vaccines and maybe, you know, some of that fear that might be there of like, well, I don't know what's in this. And because they interviewed people and there were definitely people who like got the part that this was done after it was produced. So this wasn't by the company at all. They were able to find that it happened after it was grabbed from the store. And then it was put back.
So crazy.
Okay.
Here so do we know how they did that?
Do you want to? Well, they just took it off the shelf.
Like, did they buy it and then bring it back or did they do it in the store?
Well, they couldn't trace like where they knew that one of the stores, they could tell where it was produced, but that doesn't necessarily mean it was sold from those cities. So,
so they never really could figure out how it got there.
No, not fully. All they that's know scary. That it was put back on the shelf and that's what kind of freaked people out is okay. So just two bottles. Is that the case or, you know, was there more than that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to play a hilarious video of a newscaster openly mocking someone they interviewed in one of these that I watched today, and it's pretty hilarious, and I had to share it with you. Okay, I would feel bad, but this was in the 80s. So.
With a weary eye.
Okay, just... No, God forbid, I would throw out the capsules.
You wouldn't use a capsule?
No, never the capsules. That's being foolish. But the other little things, they call them capulets.
No, Monica. The Capulets were the stuff of Romeo and Juliet. You meant Capulets. But nobody's perfect.
That's so mean.
No. Capulets are things from Romeo and Juliet. But nobody's perfect.
That's hilarious. I had the typical, like, old days news voice.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, let me go back to the important stuff. But I thought that was hilarious.
So it's Capulets, not Capulets.
Capulets.
Got it. I'm so glad I didn't fuck that up and say Capulets.
That's why when you said it, I was like, she got it. Okay. Okay, so this case really was confusing to the police and drug makers and public because, you know, no one really wants to be at fault, so they're, like, trying to figure it out really quick. But they spent like over the weekend tracing, and they did establish that the cyanide was the same. So they could tell that that was the same cyanide in all of the Tylenol that was taken. And it was restored to packages on the shelves to be purchased by victims. So to this day, we still do not have the perpetrator.
Oh, it's never solved?
Never solved. Someone spent time in jail for extortion, for claiming to be the person trying to get money, but they said that it wasn't him, and he got, I think, ended up spending 13 years in prison.
I just assumed they caught the person.
They did not. So one man, James Lewis, claiming to be the Tylenol killer, wrote a ransom note to Johnson & Johnson demanding $1 million. But really, the police did a thorough investigation. He wasn't linked to really anything at all. He had heard it on the news, and his, I think it was like his ex-wife or something, used to work for Johnson & Johnson, was fired. So, and then that's how that all came about. So he only served 13 years. It still seems like a big chunk for making a very bad decision with a ransom note, right? He was sentenced to 20 years.
Wow.
But I think like the big publicness of it.
Yeah, they had to take it seriously.
Other copycat poisonings involving Tylenol and over-the-counter medication started cropping up again in the 1980s and early 1990s, but they weren't as dramatic as the initial 1982 Chicago area deaths. So before 1982, Tylenol controlled more than 35% of the over-counter pain reliever market. Only a few weeks after the murder, that dropped down to 8%.
Well, understandable. People lose their trust.
Yeah, they're like, nope, not doing
that. I'm taking something to help me, and it hurts me.
Working with the FDA, officials were trying to understand how they could protect consumers in the future. So Johnson & Johnson actually did, I think they jumped on it pretty quickly with stopping production, pulling everything. And they started working on creating a new tamper-proof packaging. However, everything I read from the actual Johnson & Johnson is that this is, tamper reduction. Like, it basically reduces the risk of it being tampered, but they're not going to claim it's tamper-proof.
Okay.
If someone has enough time, money, and energy, they could
tamper.
Tamper. Mm-hmm. So they did things like foil seals. So that's... those really come directly from this, which is actually a benefit in the long run for everybody, for safety. Just things like it's obvious if it's been tampered with. One thing that they found with the cyanide pills, so apparently within 10 hours, the cyanide would have dissolved the Tylenol. So they knew it happened within a 10-hour period from when it was placed or put into the tablets to when it was taken, or else it would have been very noticeable.
So it just so happened that somebody bought it within that window.
Yes.
At that location where it was placed. Wow. Yep.
Yeah, so the time window was pretty small. It's not like it was sitting there for 10 years. Yeah. Okay. So within a year and after the investment of more than $100 million, which Tylenol actually also offered 100 $1,000 if anyone could help get the person captured. So they were offering money for it too. But it actually, they came back and still like Tylenol was able to like rebrand after that. But in 1983, the U.S. Congress passed what was called the Tylenol Bill, which I'd never heard before, which makes it a federal offense to tamper with consumer products. And in 1989, the FDA established federal guidelines for manufacturers to make all such products tamper-proof. So it's sad that, you know, death made that happen, mm-hmm. but it did inspire a lot of important moves, especially for over-the-counter medications. But that's it.
So this person got away with murder.
Yeah, multiple murders and not wow. pleasant and very quick.
I am so surprised they never caught the person. I was just assumed they caught them.
I mean, and they were like studying the pills and they spent weeks
and there was intense put money into focus it. On this.
They were like, I watched a profile, like, what do you think, you know, a 1980s voice, this killer profile would be? And I mean, they were
what
like,
were they, what was the profile?
Because like, I think the news guy was trying to be like, is this a serial killer? And the guy was like, I think this person is, you know, very smart, very calculated, but it doesn't.
Do you think like a med student or something, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, they said it was so calculated, like it took so many steps to be able to do that whole thing, especially, I mean, back then, like, I don't know, yeah. it hadn't been done before.
A chemist, maybe.
Maybe. However, cyanide is available like in all of the like hardware stores for it's like a pest control, whatever. Like it's an agricultural product.
A farmer did it. We've cracked it.
Who knows? I mean, you could think like maybe it's someone who is angry at the company. Maybe someone angry at the stores themselves, and that's why it was placed in those stores. Maybe it was a bigger political statement, but
it seems very gamey. That's sort of like, let's put this here and then sit back and wait and then see what happens.
Yeah. But that makes me like, because they recalled everything, were there more? But they sat and were going through.
Did they test it all?
Yeah. That was the whole thing. Okay. That was they would get shipped to the FDA. Who would then
and they didn't find any more.
They didn't find any more.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
But a lot like, of what people, are the chances though, a lot of people though were like, yep, you know, I just dump mine in the trash or I dump mine down the toilet because I'm not going to take that. You know, going through the steps of sending your bottle to the FDA is probably more than most would do.
Yeah.
But the stores ship them back, or at least we're supposed to. I watched a couple of them get cut, not so having them out.
Somebody, I think, that lived in that area.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe I would say if I had to put a profile together, I'd say maybe like mid-20s.
Late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like recently lost a job.
Wants power mm-hmm. because there's a huge power thing mm-hmm. here.
But there was no other like trying to like claim anything. So there might be this just kind of overarching God complex sort of thing of wanting to be in control of something. Mm-hmm. There could also just be the flip side of someone was curious or they had heard that this could happen.
Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Could have been a really bad prank, and that's why
people
we never
die. That's
it.
What happens.
Yeah, don't do it. So that was fascinating. I never knew that about Tylenol. And so now they sat and did polls of like, do we go back to capsules or not? And it was actually pretty in the air. Like not everyone saw the benefit of just getting rid of capsules altogether, but I don't know.
Now it's all capulets.
And I think the gels are kind of made now as a replacement because when you open, if you pop those open, they're just going to gush everywhere. So, I never thought about how the pill was made as a way to prevent tampering.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Well, there you go. Some food for thought on your Tylenol that you took for your COVID test.
No, I won't be able to eat the rest of it.
Eat the rest of it? You just take medicine. You don't eat medicine. I mean, you're not wrong, but I feel like it's wrong.
Okay. Do you know about this house?
It's,
OK, Can you see this house that I'm showing you?
I haven't seen it before. It's surrounded by all these big buildings.
Yeah, so this is, it's called Mary's House, and it's sits right in the middle of the whole Sacred Heart Hospital complex.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a cute house. It's not a little house. It's a big house, but
yeah,
it looks cute and small because it's surrounded by all these giant hospital buildings, but it's actually a 25-room house.
You got me macaroons today, and this one looks like there's poo smeared on the back.
I think that's the mark of love.
The mark of chocolate, perhaps.
So this is Mary Alex Gianetsis's house. Well, I have to walk this story back a little bit. So my sister and her family just came and stayed with me for like a week. It was amazing. I didn't work the whole time, so we just did like fun things like tie-dyeing and painting, like crafty stuff. And we went and picked peaches up at Green Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, let's learn how to can peaches.
Oh, I've done that.
Which we've never done before.
Hmm.
But you know how you're always in search of that apocalypse skill.
Yeah.
And we figured this is the perfect time to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just joking with Paul, like, yeah, they look cute in the jar. Let's just hope we don't get botulism. And he started to tell me the story of Mary Alex Gianetsis, who owned this house. So let me tell you her little story.
Okay.
This all links together, I promise.
Did you can the peaches?
I did.
Good job.
And then in the winter, I'm going to open them and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried after this topic.
Just freeze them.
So Mary Alex Gianetsis, she immigrated from Greece. And then in 1934, while living in Yakima, her husband, Alex, Christo Alex, and four others tragically died from botulism.
That's where I got the norovirus. Yakima. What the heck, man?
This resulted from beans that had been canned by a neighbor. Fortunately, Mary and her children did not eat the beans and were spared this horrible death.
My gosh.
So then, in 1938, she remarried and moved with him and her three children to Spokane. Mary had natural business skills, and she became active in real estate buying and fixing up and renting out apartment buildings. And so then she purchased that 25-room family home that overlooked 25? Downtown Spokane.
Dang.
Yeah, it's a pretty big house.
Oh, that's so sad. It looked over Spokane.
Yeah, it did. I know. If you see the picture now, there's like a hospital right there.
They literally built it all around. How rude.
So rude. Mm-hmm. So she became famous for being a holdout when threatened by expansion from the hospital complex. So in 1944, she bought this place for $20,000. And in the 60s, when the hospital began to expand, they offered her $200,000. But she declined it.
Get it, girl.
And then the expansion ended up being delayed for a couple of years because they had to redesign the whole patient tower to go north-south rather than east-west.
Sweet justice.
So her son said that the hospital administrators approached him in the 80s and asked him to persuade his mother to sell to make room for a new heart research institute. And she wouldn't.
They try to make it really emotional, like, don't you want to help people?
Yeah. So she wouldn't sell. And so this Heart Institute Research Center was built south of the hospital instead. So that's what's like on the south end of the house.
Okay.
So she got pretty famous because of her determination to keep her house. And this actually ended up being a nationwide story. And she died in 1991 in the house she loved, never selling out.
Dang.
So that's kind of like a side story to this whole botulism thing, which is my actual topic.
I do like...
Stop looking at my computer.
Oh, I was just reading your name. I like that Mary... Am I not allowed to read her name?
No. My topic.
I like Mary. That's all I'm going to say now. Thanks.
I think it's pretty badass. And I researched and researched to try to see what happened with the house. Is it still in the family or did... the hospital end up buying it, and I couldn't find anything.
Have you seen it in real life?
Yeah, it's right. Like, I literally, anytime you drive to Sacred Heart, you go right by it. It's right there.
Okay.
Like, you know that intersection with the light, mm-hmm. and you turn left and you go mm-hmm. to the emergency room? It's mm-hmm. right there on the left.
Oh, okay.
Hm. Yeah. So, pretty badass, Mary. Go, Mary. Okay. From the CDC website. It's time to harvest your delicious produce, and you may be thinking about canning some of it. But beware, if home canning is not done the right way, your canned vegetables and fruits, as well as canned meat, seafood, and other foods, could cause botulism.
I feel like I've heard the word a lot, but I have a feeling it's going to be much worse.
Is botulism bantied around?
Yeah, like just that, you know.
Bantied about.
I banty about with botulism.
I love alliteration. So this is a very rare but serious illness caused by a toxin that attacks the body's nerves.
Oh, that sounds awful.
So it basically causes muscle paralysis, but like total muscle paralysis. So if it paralyzes like your lungs, you can't breathe. And so it can kill you.
I just learned I don't know how to spell botulism.
The toxin is made most often by Clostridium botulinum bacteria. And so improperly home canned or preserved or fermented foods can provide the right conditions for the bacteria to make the toxin. You can't see it, smell it, or taste it. So Bummer. That's scary.
Yeah. Getting real nervous about your peaches since you've never done it before.
But taking even a small taste of food containing it can kill you.
Jeez. What steps did you do?
Well, I'll share as I go along.
Okay, all right.
It is considered a medical emergency, and so they need to go to the ER right away. Mm-hmm. So some of the signs and symptoms, difficulty swallowing, because like your throat is paralyzed, muscle weakness, so you might not be able to walk or move your arms or legs, trouble seeing, double vision, drooping eyelids,
what?
Blurry vision, slurred speech, difficulty moving the eyes. So I can see some of this maybe being mistaken for a stroke or something with the drooping.
But it's all, I mean, everything you listed is totally nervous system stuff.
Yeah. So you got to get help right away. That's the thing. There might also be vomiting, nausea, stomach pain, and diarrhea, which sounds like your little norovirus.
That I almost died
from. You had all of those.
Well, and they said, well, we don't test for that, but it's been going around.
Yeah. They're like, half the lobby has it. I remember they said that. I'm like, I'll be outside, Macy.
I know.
Just call me when you're ready.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you went back to the tournament, and then I called you, and I was ready to be picked up. Yeah. That's okay.
Like, I'm not sticking around.
I already
threw
up all around you, and was in the car with you everywhere.
I know. I'm like, can we not make it a block before you make me pull over so you can heave out the car door?
It was just so random when it was coming.
It was. It took us like 8 hours to drive home.
I forgot about the whole rest. I just remember throwing up in that guy's driveway.
No, remember the drive home? We had to do preventative puke stops every 20 to 30 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
You're a great friend.
It brought us closer together.
It did. I was so vulnerable.
You also might have the sign of a weak cry that sounds different than usual. Isn't that sad? You're like trying to cry and it's like,
I feel like I was doing that. Just desperation.
So sad.
That's very specific.
Yes. So this all results from muscle paralysis caused by the toxin. And if untreated, it's just going to get worse and worse and could cause full paralysis of the torso, arms, legs, breathing system. It usually begins 18 to 36 hours after eating the contaminated food. So it's not right away. Mm-hmm. So you might think you're fine. Like, oh, those peaches were fine. They were delicious.
How many hours?
18 to 36.
Okay. I was just gauging from when we first got to Yakima and I ate cherries. Because I think it was cherries.
It was the next day, right?
Next day was tournament. I was fine the first day of tournament. And then it was the next day I tournamented in the morning and then like
you started, torpedo diarrhea in the afternoon.
I made it the whole way until the last day because it was like it was supposed to be finals. Like, we got to the very end.
I know.
And I couldn't stay. Leave. Yeah.
We still won, though.
I know.
Which is crazy. So here's how you can protect yourself, your family, and others. Because, God, wouldn't you feel bad if you killed somebody with your canned beans?
Damn, that's the worst way to go. Now I'm like, well, I just canned blackberry. Well, they're frozen, but they last 3 months, 3 to 4 months in the freezer. Only like a week or two in the fridge.
So according to the CDC, the best way to prevent foodborne botulism is by carefully following instructions for safe home canning from the USDA Complete Guide to Home Canning. Only use recipes and cookbooks that follow the steps from the USDA guide. Don't use other recipes, even if you got them from a trusted friend or family member.
Sorry, Grandma.
So I did not do this.
Oh.
So I'm...
Which I want to know what steps you didn't do.
And found a whole bunch of cute recipes.
Oh.
And picked the one that I thought sounded the best and used that one. I did not use this USDA Complete Guide to Home Canning Bible.
I mean, to be fair, I haven't had this up either. My grandma like canned her whole life, had the big giant like acres of garden.
According to this, don't trust.
Read it. I'm reading. Grandma's recipes. I want you to read it to me.
So, and I looked up a lot of recipes and they're all very different. That's what's scary. Like, everybody's doing something different out there.
Yeah. See, and I don't even have the recipes. I just know the process that like my mom taught me and from her. And
I also
that's what I
want to
know. I love making pickles.
Well, we'll
like
see.
Like pickle despair. I've eaten them like every year and I haven't died yet. So that's a good sign.
So far. All right. So low acid foods are the most common sources of botulism linked to home canning.
Okay. So berries have a lot of acid.
So this includes asparagus, green beans, beets, corn, potatoes, some fruits, including tomatoes and figs,
mm-hmm.
milk, all meats, fish, and other seafood. To be honest, I would never can meat.
That sounds really gross.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be somebody else's.
Oh, but I do like spam. I got to walk that back. I like spam, but I don't can it myself.
That's like the ultimate canned meat.
I enjoy
what it. What is that even? What meat is that? What is that?
It's
is
all it... the meats, I think.
I'm a little worried that you have no idea.
It's all the
as
meats.
A spam eater.
I mean, doesn't spam like... stand for salty processed asshole meat?
Does it?
That's what I always heard.
Asshole meat?
I still enjoy me some spam. I mean, not all the time.
How does it stand
like
for?
On occasion.
You said spicy? It's not spicy.
Salty.
Salty.
You haven't heard that?
I'm writing it down. Salty what?
Processed asshole meat.
Gross.
I mean, I don't know if that's true. But I'm sure there's an asshole or
like,
two in there.
Is that what like bologna and hot dogs are made out of?
I mean, hot dogs are like beaks and buttholes. So I think it's all sort of similar.
It's like a beak and butthole cream sauce. It's been jellified in its own fat. Mmm. Sold me.
So pressure canning is the only recommended method for canning these low acid foods. So do not use a boiling water counter, which is what I did.
Mm.
I used a boiling water counter.
As I say, we use that for like jams.
Yeah. So you only pressure can for those foods, those low acid foods. Do not use an electric multi-cooker appliance, even if it has a canning or steam canning button on the front panel.
Mm, never tried that.
And then there's other guidance. Make sure your pressure canner holds at least 4 1-quart jars sitting upright on the rack.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your gauge is accurate. And they said you can take in your gauge and the county will check it for you.
Okay, do you just like where you'd show up where
at with the, at the county?
And you, I mean, is there someone
canner gauge checker
at the ready to check my canner
I'm
gauge?
I'm imagining you walk into the county with your thing and there's like a sign that says check your canning gauge here, and then you would like pull a number and get in line.
Wow.
That's what I imagine.
I hope so.
I don't know if that's actually how it is in real life.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's how it plays out.
Huh. Okay.
So there's all these like steps you're supposed to do with your pressure canner. And I learned when I was canning that you're not supposed to, they used to say boil to sanitize your sealer and ring. And they say now do not boil your sealer because it ruins the sealer. You're supposed to just wash it with warm soapy water.
Yeah.
And also I learned that there is a canning supply shortage right now in the country.
Oh, due to COVID. Because everyone's panicking.
And I looked today at Fred Meyer's. And there weren't any sealers.
I wonder if this is going to create an uptick in botulism cases.
Let's see.
We'll see if this is a trend.
We've been mysteriously connecting some dots in this show to some topical things out there in the world.
Absolutely, yeah.
Doesn't mean we're causing botulism, people.
No, it doesn't prove causation. We didn't do it.
We didn't do it.
We didn't poison the Tylenol.
So when in doubt, throw it out.
Well, how about you? You don't know.
If you have any doubt, do not eat the food. If you're not sure that it was safe.
Oh, yeah.
But see, I worked really hard on those peaches and pickles, and I'm not going to throw them out.
I mean, you very specifically didn't do any of the process.
If I die, we'll know why.
Just like eat them and then be around people for a couple days so they can take it to the hospital.
I'll just eat them in the ER lobby.
Well, that's fair.
Just to be safe.
Yeah.
I'm right there.
Remember when they gave me the bucket? They're very helpful.
Yeah. So here's some signs that either a home canned or store-fought food might be contaminated.
Okay.
If the container is leaking, bulging, or swollen. If the container looks damaged, cracked, or abnormal.
Did you say abnormal?
I did.
Is that how it's said?
No, I was just adding some flair.
Oh, thanks. I like that.
If the container spurts liquid or foam when opened.
Oh.
We don't want spurting of liquids.
I ate rotten chicken like a month ago by accident. So it was.
Were you hurling?
It was on a tray. So there was two things that were exactly like those like pre-stuffed things that you then bake.
Oh.
And there was one that was old that I had no idea about.
Was it chicken cordon bleu?
Yes. Yes, with spinach and some cheeses.
I have
in
an
it.
Emotional connection to that
yeah,
dish.
I love chicken cordon bleu.
If we have time for a tangent, I can share.
Okay, so I grabbed the one I thought was the new one, and I hadn't seen.
Rookie mistake.
I hadn't even seen the other one, so I thought this was the only one. And pulled it out, and I remember just seeing like there was a lot of liquid in the bottom that was definitely abnormal.
I do not like chicken liquid. It raw was, chicken liquid.
And it was like, I remember thinking, that looks a little slimy. I'm like, maybe it's, and I was like, maybe.
That was your instinct telling know, you, trying but, to protect you.
But I was like, maybe it's the stuffing that like created like water. I don't know.
So you didn't trust your inner
and
guru.
Then I cooked it and I ate it and I sat and threw up. Threw it all
I
up.
I bet you did.
I did.
That's what you get for drinking that chicken water.
Abnormal chicken water.
And not trusting your gut.
I know. I had.
Your gut paid you back for
I
not trusting
it. I had that regret
it.
Moment of, I. That was the point right there that I should have just said no.
Yep.
This is how I'm going to die one day because I have many of those points and I don't listen.
Eventually
don't.
You'll start to. But now I've.
But not
I've,
if I'm dead.
But now I've boomeranged and now I listen to too many of them and now I'm fucking paranoid about everything. So.
Well, hey, chicken cordon bleu.
Do we have time for
yeah,
a tangent?
My topic was fast.
Okay. Let's take it back to 1989.
A year out. I was a year old and I was adorable.
I'm sure you were.
I had bangs.
I was not too adorable at this time. I was graduating. Not from regular high school, but from alternative high school, because I'd been expelled from high school a couple years prior.
Shocking.
Still, it was a big event. And I was graduating from a place called Fremont Adult School in California. Mm-hmm. So it's a place where lots of people go to school and a lot of adults. Mm-hmm. And so the graduation dinner dance had a full bar because most of the people were
adults
drinking age. So I was very excited about this. I never participated in any dances in high school. And I was really excited to, like, I was going to participate. Like, I got a dress. I got a French braid in my hair.
Aww.
I had, like, some baby's breath tucked in. Because it was 89. So.
That's, yeah, baby's breath was all the rage, I hear.
Yeah, yeah. Went with my high school boyfriend. We're going. He went there to that school, too. That's where we met. And on the menu was chicken cordon bleu.
Aww.
And we had just sat down. They had just served the dinner. Mm-hmm. We didn't have time to eat, though, because all of a sudden, the staff start chasing after my boyfriend. And he's like, run! What? And so...
Only you.
I didn't even know what was going on, but I'm running, because that's what you do when people are chasing you. And and it turns out he had stolen a whole bottle of alcohol from the bar, but got caught. And we were there like 20 minutes.
You didn't even get to eat your chicken cordon bleu.
I didn't get to eat my chicken cordon bleu. I sat in the parking lot crying.
Did you break up with him over that? Because like,
no, in fact, he's the reason that I'm up here in this part of the world, because he moved up here 2 years later. And so I moved up here too.
What a bad influence. You should have got that shit. Just think of your life. I kind
of like the bad boy part of him.
I know.
Though.
Don't we all? Don't we all? But it's not always the best.
But I was crying in the parking lot. It was a very 80s movie moment, you know, mascara down my face.
Could you imagine what it's like, an alternate timeline of if you had gotten to eat that chicken cordon bleu? Maybe how your life would have been different.
Gotten food poisoning.
And died. Yep.
Died. Right. Okay. That's the alternative timeline. It ends there.
In the end.
That's my. But ever since then, like, chicken cordon bleu is like stuck in my mind. I've actually never eaten it.
What? It's one of my favorites. My dad used to make it all the time while I was growing up. It's so good.
I like the fancy name.
Do you? I feel like I have to make you chicken cordon bleu now.
Well, I don't trust you in your chicken water.
That's fair. Honestly, don't trust me with anything.
Oh my gosh.
You drink my kombucha. That's like actually me with like...
That's true. That's fermented.
Fermented and living organisms. I follow the steps very well. Like I haven't do all the steps. Sick
from your kombucha.
Did you like the last one?
It was my favorite flavor so far.
Did you? You
loved it. It was like tropical.
It was. Yep.
Here's what else you can do about to prevent the botulism. Refrigerate any canned or pickled foods after you open them.
Yeah.
Always use traditional methods when preparing Alaskan native foods, which I probably wouldn't even go there because I'm sure it involves a lot of like raw sea animals.
By salting. And I assume.
I would not go there.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Refrigerate homemade oils infused with garlic or herbs and throw them away after 4 days. And a lot of people keep them a lot longer.
I've seen many people where it's like almost like ornate their little bottles collection. Yeah,
Paul tried to pull something out of his fridge once, and I'm like,
Don't you pull random shit out of the fridge? Like,
you pulled that from the back.
That's like a solid 3 years ago item.
Yeah. I'm like, let's just make some fresh balsamic. If you bake potatoes, wrap them in aluminum foil, keep them hotter than 140 degrees. So the potatoes, even just sitting in your aluminum foil, like you don't just store them like that.
Say that one more time. Sorry.
You know how you bake potatoes in aluminum foil sometimes?
Yeah.
You have to keep that over 140 degrees.
Oh, you mean like if you save
until
it
until they're ready to be served or refrigerated.
Oh, I always eat them hot. Yeah.
Yeah. So you wouldn't want to like just let them sit out at a potluck or something.
I love to burn the inside of my mouth off. So... I think I'm okay.
I like baked potatoes.
I love baked potatoes.
With some cheese. And what do you put on yours?
You put like olive oil on the outside of it while it's cooking, and then roll it in some like salts, and then it makes the outside crispy.
Do you ever like cut them in half and like?
Yeah, you cut them in
put,
half.
Put like some cheese and broccoli.
Yeah. I am a huge sour cream fan with like sour cream and chives. That was like my jam. Oh yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah. This is making me really hungry, and I have no food at home, so.
Well, let's talk about some
cordon bleu.
Bioterrorism.
Okay. Maybe that'll help.
Stop looking at my laptop.
I can't read it. That's not mine. It's because I don't have a drink anymore, and I don't know what to do with my hands or my eyes.
All right, so we talked about botulism. The toxin that causes it is one of the deadliest toxins known.
Wow. I talked about cyanide, and you're talking about.
I know. When you were talking about that, I'm like, it's kind of linked.
Well, yeah.
So the bacteria that makes this toxin is found naturally, but it's rare for people to get sick off of that. However, it could be used in a biological attack. a biological attack would release germs or the toxins and then either kill people, livestock, or crops. And some countries with biological weapons programs have made this toxin that causes botulism. Mm. And some groups have tried unsuccessfully to use the toxin to harm people. So public health authorities know that botulism, or the toxin that causes botulism, could be used in a biological attack. Mm-hmm. And they study the toxin and the disease to be prepared in case a biological attack ever happens.
As Lion King says.
Every year in the United States, about 200 people are diagnosed with botulism, and fewer than 1 in 20 of them die. So it's pretty rare.
Okay.
And we've not had any botulism, bioterrorism in the U.S. However, John Hopkins School of Public Health says botulism toxin poses a major biological weapons threat to the public.
Mm.
And, you know, I think we got caught off guard with the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I think we just need to step up our preparedness. It was like, in a lot of areas.
It was like 3 years before when they were like, by the way, guys, we're super unprepared for a giant pandemic. Yeah. And then it happened. And now you're talking about botulism. We're super unprepared for
it. We need to be prepared.
Everybody's buying out all the canned food stuff. And none of these people know how to can, first of all. All these bitches be looking up YouTube videos and recipes.
That's what I did.
Recipes.
That's exactly what I did. You know what's... Have you looked at some of these like people that have their own like recipe site?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what's so fucking annoying about this?
The stories?
Yes!
Oh my god, the goddamn stories! It's the worst!
Why do you have to start out with a story about like you as a girl on your grandma's farm? Like nobody... I'm like scrolling, like get to the fucking recipe.
Can you please make your own recipe site and have your story about how you never ate the chicken cordon bleu and had to run away from the... crying in the parking lot.
I don't understand it. And I was starting to get irritated when I realized site after site. They start with the story. Like, is this a formula?
I was trying to find my favorite popover recipe. I love popovers. They're super good. But but I was like, how many stories do I have to read? I don't care.
They get to the recipe.
They put it at the very bottom where I have to dig. And then it'll be like... explaining it, not even just, I just need the list and the steps.
That's please. All.
That's it.
I don't care about your story.
And if you don't want to give that to me without your story, then please put your site down or like give me a warning sticker at the top that says personal story. And then I would move the.
I would never go to your site.
Yeah, I'll go somewhere else.
I just want a recipe. I want to know what to shop for. I want to know what to do. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me create my own story.
I want your touching up. Moments that I'm never going to recreate because you're a liar and that's not how that Christmas dinner went.
It's all
and
fake.
We all know it.
Yeah,
you're a liar. Nothing looks this perfect. 100 recipes in. Give me a break.
And if I get botulism from your site, I'm coming after you.
I hate when I follow everything exactly perfectly and it doesn't look like the picture they posted.
No, mine never looks like the picture.
You stole that photo from someone else's recipe and put it on your site, didn't you?
It's not even food. It's probably made out of clay.
your clay popovers look so good. I think it's so poofy. Sorry.
Here's what John Hopkins School of Public Health says about a botulism bioterrorism event. Botulinum toxin is a serious threat as a weapon because it is extremely lethal and easy to produce. Only a very low quantity of toxin is needed to cause a life-threatening or fatal illness.
That does sound like the cyanide, like, because it's an agricultural product and it doesn't take much, I mean,
look at how we had
seen
these topics.
Yeah.
So it's usually contracted botulism through eating contaminated foods or by absorbing the bacteria through cuts in the skin, which I didn't know.
Oh, like on your hands while you're, like,
canning.
If you're... Yeah, and like maybe preparing your canned meats and it drips into your wounds.
Ooh, your chicken water gets in your wound.
Gosh, so good.
So the Hopkins Working Group believes the intentional contamination of the food supply or aerosol dissemination of the toxin is the greatest terrorism concern. Several nations, including the former Soviet Union and Iraq, were found to have developed and stockpiled bioweapons containing botulinum toxin, despite the fact that they had signed the Biological Weapons Convention.
Tisk, tisk.
And this threat is not limited to governments. Do you remember my topic on the Ohm cult in Japan?
Yes.
They, on three occasions in the early 90s, tried to unleash an airborne form of botulinum toxin, but all the attacks failed. So, do you remember the little purple guy? There he is.
Aw. Yes.
Well, he got executed.
What?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that. I love his beard, though.
It was a topic a while back. I can't remember which one.
I'm sure it was.
It was a while ago. Oh,
it's like reading your favorite book over again.
Oh, I think it was just on that cult.
Yeah, I think it was just the cult.
Yeah, on that guy. Yeah, he got famous because people thought he could levitate in the lotus position.
I remember the picture.
And they made a cartoon about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what might an attack look like? A biological attack that releases the toxin might be put into the food supply or the air, and it might make many people sick, but we might not know right away because you can't see it, smell it, or taste it. Mm-hmm. So we'd only know it because people would start showing up at the ER with those symptoms.
Well, they could do what the early pioneers did and say, hey, we're having a banquet. We'd love to invite you over, you know, for peace. Come and eat this wonderful food of beans and canned meats.
Remember that chicken, that other cult topic I did, tried to
spray
the salads?
Yeah, the lady did it, right?
The restaurants.
Yeah.
But that didn't work. That was like a failed bioterrorist attack. I think it was E. coli. She was trying to spritz on the salad bars.
Yeah, so it's like the false favor.
Yeah, so, I mean...
I made that up.
So maybe it's harder to launch a bioterrorist attack than we might think, because we've learned a lot about a lot of failed efforts.
Yeah, there's a lot failed.
So what are we doing to prepare? The CDC is stockpiling antitoxin in the Strategic National Stockpile.
So they're like preparing for it.
So we have a stockpile of antitoxin.
That's good to know, because like coronavirus, I mean, they were probably like looking around their little storage house like, shit. The one thing we didn't save.
Yes. And so the antitoxin can't reverse the effects, but it can prevent further. So whatever paralysis you've already experienced,
it doesn't
permanent.
Come back.
I know. Isn't that fucked?
That's super fucky.
So I thought I would wrap it up talking about Botox.
Okay.
Botox injections are known primarily for their ability to reduce wrinkles in the face. Huh. But they can also be used to treat neck spasms and excessive sweating. So you can get Botox injected into your pits.
Oh, I'm sure that does a thing.
And it then you won't sweat. It's also can be used for overactive bladder and lazy eye, because since it makes the muscles paralyze, like if you have an overactive bladder, you put it in the bladder, your bladder will calm down and relax.
Basically just puts in some stuff around your nerves, and then there's less nerves and there's more stuff.
Yeah. So I always have thought it was interesting that people get botulism injected into their face on purpose.
Oh, but that's what it is botulism? Wait.
Yeah. Botox injections use the toxin. The same toxin.
Oh, wow. That took my brain a second. Okay.
The
so
same
because
toxin
it
that
does
is
that.
Produced by the microbe that causes botulism, a type of food poisoning.
Got it. Okay. So it's actually numbing the nerves.
Yeah.
Or killing the nerves or whatever. It's
yeah.
Doing
it's
to
just,
the nerves.
You know, it's controlled and a small amount.
Yeah.
But
unless they do.
That's why it relaxes the muscles.
Remember
the wrinkles.
We talked about like when it gets misused, like when people get like the.
And they can't move their face at all?
Yeah. Or they like have it done by someone at their house or something, you know, like, and it's not like FDA cleared botulism implants. Could be dangerous.
It could. I mean, if you do it wrong,
if
I mean,
you
maybe
botch it,
if you botch your botulism, then maybe like you don't have the ability to move your face at all, and then you just look weird.
Nah, I've seen some of those.
Where no expressions can be made?
No.
Oh, I read some interesting research that people that have had Botox and can't move their face into expressions actually feel less emotions. Because there's that link between facial expressions and emotions. And
I'm sure the nervous system has to do with a lot, which then makes me think about like the phantom limb stuff where we talked about.
Yes, it's totally related.
Yeah, and how that might tie in with emotions. And
yes, it's all related.
Dang, we're uncovering some cool stuff. God, look so at smart. Look at us.
So Washington State, our state, reported an average of 0 to 2 food-related botulism deaths over the last 10 years.
Dang, that's pretty good, guys.
The last I could find, 2016, fairly recent, 5 years ago.
That sounds like the start of the canning.
In Grant County, Washington, 2 people died by botulism linked to home canned food.
As I say, that is a very rural area.
Well, what does that have to do with it?
Well,
this is not, and I'm probably going to die of botulism.
No,
I'm going to be the next statistic.
I was just saying that there's a lot of canning that happens there because of the agriculture.
Like they actually need to.
Yeah. So, I mean, like your one time of canning peaches in the past, how many years?
Never.
Okay.
Ever.
So compared to the people who may rely on that and have had how many cans over many years? I mean, like if we're just doing stats, that's all I was thinking.
Yeah.
Not judging the rural folks. I'm just saying they have more canned things they eat in my assumption.
All right. That's all.
We will come up with a name for our fan. I can't not think about it now that you said it.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun to have?
No, but like nothing's going to be good enough.
I know. I would like their input.
Because I'm always like, we love our DDT listeners, but like they do deserve more.
They deserve a nice name.
Yeah. Okay. So,
haven't you seen that? How, like, YouTube channel people, like, they call their people something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we have to post that on the Facebook page and see what people
say. We'll come up with something.
Yeah. We'll create a master list and come back with you all.
We could call them winners.
You're such a winner. I don't know.
Hey, winners.
But I don't.
And that sounds like wieners.
It sounds like wieners. And I like the ability to fail sometimes. Remember?
Failure is a win in my book because you learn something and grow. And it might be an opportunity to be like, you know what? That was a really bad idea. I'm going to do something different. And you might never have known you needed to change directions if you hadn't failed.
I think our fans would have something better than Wiener. Until next time, make sure to get your stretch tube before you go back to work.
And when in doubt, throw it out.